This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Over Labor Day weekend, Chicago hit an ugly milestone. 500 murders this year. That's more than New York and LA combined. We want to talk about the violence now, but not just guns and gangs, to really look at the economic links between poverty, segregation, and violence. So we turn to an expert. Reporter Natalie Moore, who covers the South Side of Chicago for the public radio station there, WBEZ. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
To put all of this violence in an economic context, I guess I want you first to put it in a geographic context. So we're talking about the South and West Sides of Chicago. What do they look like and feel like?
They're pretty big places, and it's hard to summarize them in one fell swoop. So we tend to think of the South Side as all Black, and there certainly are dozens of Black neighborhoods, but there are also white neighborhoods, Latino neighborhoods, and mixed neighborhoods. The violence that we have seen in Chicago are contained in just a handful of neighborhoods on the South and West Sides. And those neighborhoods tend to have high unemployment and high poverty. In general, the feel of these neighborhoods, you know, there is this impression that it's the Wild West and that there are shootings on corners all the time. You know, it's still summertime, so there's barbecue smoke that you smell from the expressway or in neighborhoods. Kids are going to school, businesses, traffic, vibrancy. You know, there's no one singular story in these Black neighborhoods, but it seems that the singular story coming out is that of violence.
I was reading a piece in the Chicago Tribune recently, and they quoted a pastor in West Garfield Park saying, "If you show me people without hope, I'll show you people that's willing to pick up a gun and do something with it," which I think is something we hear a lot when you talk about disenfranchised neighborhoods, neighborhoods with high rates of violence. I want to get your sense of how kind of economic opportunity and this particular rise in violence are linked in what you've seen and what you've reported on.
I want to take it a step farther than the hopelessness comment, because I think that, of course, these are individuals who are making decisions about picking up a gun. But I think that we fail ourselves in solutions when we just look at this as individual problems and not look at the structural problems in neighborhoods. So I mentioned that we see high poverty and crime linked together, unemployment. But these neighborhoods don't have a lot of businesses. There's disinvestment. And, you know, you can't talk about these issues without talking about economics. So I look at violence as a symptom of lack of economic development.
Well, yeah. And I guess that gets to kind of the bigger question behind, well, OK, when someone proposes a solution or a way they want to tackle the violence, can you do that without, say, looking at housing segregation, without looking at the number of schools that are under-enrolled in, you know, some parts of the South Side of Chicago? When you talk to both people in government and people in the community, what kinds of solutions do you hear?
Not very good ones, quite frankly.
Wow.
I'm just going to be honest. This is not a policing issue. And I think a lot of elected officials say we need more police on the streets. So if you go into neighborhoods, people are not clamoring for police. The police do not prevent violence, and they are not a catalyst for social change or for economic change. So it's often looked at, well, why is New York less violent than Chicago? Why is L.A. less violent? One, Chicago has always been more violent than those cities, going back to the days of Prohibition. But Chicago is also more segregated than those neighborhoods. And segregation isn't about Black people needing to live next to white people. It's about resources and proximity to resources and inequity. And decades of bad housing policies that have created Black ghettos are not going to be reversed overnight. It's less sexy to talk about housing segregation and unequal resources when you're talking about gun violence. Those are structural issues and neighborhood issues and policy-driven issues that will go a long way in decreasing violence.
So what's standing in the way from Rahm Emanuel or someone else in Chicago in power from saying, okay, let's talk about that stuff?
So I, you know, ask myself these questions. I struggle with these questions myself. And I see a lack of political will. I see politicians saying, well, it's not my job to take on segregation. This is what defines Chicago. And the drumbeat that I've been banging is that we can't look at any of these issues without addressing segregation. And segregation is not about self-selection. This is about past and current policies that keep neighborhoods under-resourced and underserved.
You also, you live in the South Side, you live in Bronzeville. This is not just your beat, but I mean, this kind of, these questions are things you go to bed with and wake up with in the morning. And, you know, do you think, when you think about this in the middle of the night, do you think this can be fixed?
You know, I probably thought that it couldn't be, but, you know, I think I've done so much reading and talked to so many smart people that there's no one solution that can fix everything. There's no magic wand, and I don't even know if things can be fixed in a generation.
What else haven't I asked you that you think our listeners need to know when they see a headline, you know, about horrible shooting in Chicago and they don't know how to make sense of it? What do they need to know to make sense of it?
You know, Chicago has become the face of urban violence, and we see other places struggle with gun violence, whether it's white suburbia with school shooting or other urban locales like Philadelphia, Baltimore. I think that Chicago is not just about violence. Black neighborhoods are not just about violence. You know, it's crime does happen. I don't want to be insensitive either, because people are losing their lives and it is a problem. But until we talk about it in honest ways, people are either going to just write it off as those crazy black and brown people who don't have self-control, or you hear things like black people don't care about black-on-black crime, when I see block club presidents, community activists, grandmothers. Like, there are all kinds of people who are trying to make their blocks and their communities better. And I think to help these places, we have to broaden the conversation and the scope to go beyond violence. I think people have to understand that there is an economic cost to violence and a lack of economics that plagues these places.
Natalie Moore, WBEZ's Southside reporter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie.